Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Come back to the Charlie Cook Cricket Podcast. Now, what an absolutely terrible day of cricket that was. I haven't had that much misery in my life watching England play cricket for probably a long time. I think you've got to go back to Root's captaincy days and staying up in the middle of the night for Down Under Ashes. It felt awful throughout. Shubman Gill's knock was incredible. England bowled terribly. It's looking pretty rough as an England fan right now. I'm Jumma Jack, aka Left Arm Seamer. We're going to go through the game as two very disgruntled England fans and tell you everything that is wrong with this team, that there is no positives to take out of it, and Rob Key, Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum should all be sacked, I'm sure, by the end of it. Jack, pretty poor day. You have to...
Yeah, I'm struggling to find the positives. At 5-8-7 all out, I thought we're still in this. The belief we had from last week, but that sort of early collapse really sort of brought back all the memories of sort of the Silverwood and Root as captain reign, waking up in like 4 a.m. and seeing us 3 down for 25 was such a common thing back then. And it's going to be a struggle to get back in this game to win, but let's hope there's a little bit of rain around perhaps and we can get a draw, but we can still say we were playing for the win.
I think what they've done is superbly as well have said that we don't like draws, and because you've batted for so long that the only way that there can possibly be a result in this game is if we lose. And I think it's very noble of England to just do that, to once again save Test cricket. It's very nice of them. It was a really poor day. I mean, let's start off with some positives for India. Shubman Gill, 269, highest ever score by an Indian in England, highest score for an India Test captain against England. Just a sensational knock. But however, I will say, and it's really impressive to score 269. I don't want to take that away from him. He's not going to score an easier 269 runs in his life. It's a little bit like the Brook triple century and the Root 260 odd in Pakistan. You have to do it and you have to go out and score those runs. Relatively easy going for Gill today. Never looked in trouble.
Yeah, it was a chanceless innings. Completely agree with what you say. He's never going to have an easy chance to post a massive score like that. Very similar to Root and Brook in Pakistan last year. Let's hope they do that again tomorrow. But yeah, Shubman Gill, it's so strange though. I said yesterday, because you look at his record and before this series, I think it was a 34 average, and you just think, how? He looks so good, so compact. And is it just a flick of a switch that he's now got the captaincy, that he suddenly just decided that he's going to be a serious test batter and do the goods?
I mean, I think it helps that all of a sudden he's got some flat tracks to play on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to look up his stats. So he's played in Australia, Bangladesh, India and South Africa and the West Indies. None of those are relatively easy places to bat. There isn't any easy places to bat apart from England at the moment, and maybe Sri Lanka if you get a flat one at Gaul that they've seemed to be rolling out on occasion. It's just, I mean, no one scores runs in India. No one scores runs in Australia. Australia can't score any runs in West Indies. That's difficult. South Africa, God knows what they're doing with their pitches. I mean, it was one of the worst pitches I've ever seen in that 23-24 series between India and South Africa.
Yeah.
So it is just these absolute feather beds in England that he's just cashing in on. And he's such a good player to watch. Like, some of the shots that he makes is just, they're so crisp. I mean, he's so elegant in the way he plays. He's very, very MCC textbook in every shot that he plays. And it was just a bit of a lazy pull that eventually got him out. But I did think that Lara's record could be under the pump if he had someone that could stay with him for long enough. But 269 he was out for.
Yeah, I thought he'd get a triple century, definitely. He just, he sort of reminds me a bit of like all of the Indian greats. He's got a bit of Tendulkar in him. He's got a bit of Laxman. He's also got, well, looks like he's got a bit of inner steel like Dravid as well. I was worried about the Lara record as well when him and Sundar are batting well. We just looked lost for ideas. And I think we almost accepted from sort of the first session that we didn't make the early inroads. We just thought, let's try and give them these 200 runs that they need and get our turn to bat, which has sort of been the Baz Ball mentality for a while.
Yeah, we should probably move on to the bowling. I mean, Jadeja and Washington Sundar batted well with Gill to give him a part. There's a world where they collapse. Even at 414 for six, you're thinking, well, if we tumble them out here for 450, again, it's unders of where they should be. It just kept on going. Once we did get that wicket, we did get the last three. We got 7, 8, 9 and 10 all relatively quickly, but it was just, yeah. Washington at 8 was a lot better than Shardew was at 8 in the last test. England's bowling. Chris Wokes didn't bowl after the 93rd over, and I just didn't understand it. He was our best bowler yesterday. It's literally like nothing happened in the first session. Not even the first, like the first hour. And we just thought, well, we're not going to take any wickets. We might as well just wait until they either make a mistake or they declare, and we'll just try and score as many runs as they can, but we'll do it quicker than them.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it felt. The first sort of hour, I think we were hoping to sort of make inroads and get them out for under 400. But once they weathered that early storm, the fact that Chris Wokes didn't, I think it was after the first over, he didn't bowl for the rest of the day. I don't think Brydon Carst did. Ben Stokes didn't. It was just, we almost just accepted that we're not going to get wickets easily here. We may as well try and either bowl dry and get a mistake out of them, or just sort of accept that they're going to get sort of 450, 500 plus, and then it's our turn to bat.
Yeah, I just didn't understand it. I mean, so Carst had a 4-over spell in kind of the middle of the day, and that was it, apart from what he did at the start of the day. So he had about like 7 overs today. I don't think Stokes bowled after his first spell. He didn't. 3 overs that he bowled. And then we just had a mismatch of tongue bowling bouncers, and they were pretty good. There was a few that was coming out pretty quick, and the one that got Jadeja out was really impressive. However, that didn't mean that he needed to bowl a 10 over spell after that one thing, and it just felt like, well, okay, they've kind of worked out the short ball. Washington Sundar looked a little bit kind of scared of it either side of lunch, but once he got that, we just felt like we kept going with it. And I didn't really understand it. I thought he bowled better than he did yesterday, but it's not saying much, is it?
Yeah. I like Josh Tong today. He bowled with heart. But yes, the whole short ball tactic did frustrate me. Once Washington sort of weathered that storm, he looked quite comfortable. But I think that's more sort of Ben Stokes telling him to bowl short. I think he's very much a bowler that just bowls with whatever his captain tells him to do. He does seem he buys into sort of the team mentality, which is a good trait, to be fair. He doesn't mind going for runs if he's going to be the one that's sort of the enforcer. He bowled, like you said, a little bit better than yesterday. But yeah, it was just a strange sort of afternoon with just Bashir holding up an end, if you can call it holding up an end, for sort of, I think he bowled 20 overs on the bounce, maybe. I think we should have used Joe Root a little bit more because he offers something a little bit different. He broke the partnership with an absolute beaut. That sort of came out of nowhere, that ball that did finally break that partnership.
Yeah. I mean, Harry Brook was probably the highlight of the day for me.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure whether it was to try and fix the run rate, whether we thought that we'd actually take a wicket with it. I mean, he did get the edge of Shubman Gill, and that was the first full shot that he played in the whole day, and it was to the right arm shit off a wrong foot. From Harry Brook, it was just bizarre stuff, and the difference between a 5-yard run out and a run up and a 35-yard run up, and then he'd bowl from 24 yards and then there'd be something different, then he'd try and come from behind the umpire. It was good fun, but I was like, okay, so we've just given up, we've taken wickets now, we're just not that interested, we'd just fix the over rate and wait until they either declare or just throw their wickets away. Bashir today, 3 for 167. What did you think of his performance?
Yeah, I do, as I often do, I try and be sort of balanced with my views on him, because it's not easy to bowl on a wicket like today. It's so flat. And if he's going under four and over, it's not too bad a job, but he just does not look threatening enough, to be honest, and picks up his wickets. They're always, because someone's trying to slog him out the ground. I thought he did okay, but it's, as always with Bashir, it's more about sort of the third innings and fourth innings where we need a little bit more from him, and that's when he ultimately sort of lets us down, I feel.
I thought he was useless. I think he's useless. I think they should drop him. And I have no idea why he's still in the squad. If I was, who's bottom of Division 2 in the county championship at the moment? Kent? I don't think he gets into the Kent side. I don't think he should be playing county cricket, let alone test cricket. Now, I know that he's learning on the job and he's young and there's various different things. He's just not good enough. India have realised that if they don't try and slog him, there is never going to be a ball that causes them any trouble. So they are just milking him for 3.5, 4 and over, and never, ever looks like taking a wicket. It's not like when people go really defensive against spinners and they're going for 2 and over, and then you're building up pressure that way. It's not. There'll be one that's dragged short. There'll be two that's overpitched and over. And then he'll have three good balls. Not amazing balls, just three good balls that kind of pitch outside off stump to the right-hander, turn in. The Gill did it so many times of just wait for the ball to pitch, defend, back to the bowler, and then there'll be the one that's overpitched and he'll just knock it down to long on and get up the other end. There was never, ever any pressure built up by Bashir, and it is so frustrating because he's not the best spinner we have in England.
No,
anywhere near. There's probably 10 other spinners that I'd pick out of county cricket before I get to show with Bashir. And I'm fine by giving them time. And this Stokes regime has had so much success with most of their selections. But it is getting to the point now where we are playing decent opposition and he is just proving he is not good enough, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a good assessment there from yourself. Use the word about pressure, which is really key, because as a spinner, that's if you're going to be a containing spinner, like Jack Leach, to be fair, at least he could, when he was in the side, he would build a little bit of pressure because he would be going it over sort of 2.5 and over. He was accurate. He didn't bowl many bad balls, but Bashir doesn't. He just doesn't have that about him. So then you want him to at least be attacking and be able to draw batsmen out, but he's not even doing that either. He doesn't offer anything with a bat or in the field. And if you're looking at other options, there's so many other all-round options. We've mentioned him before, but Liam Dawson, obviously. He would do a better job with the ball and he offers us so much of the batting in the field. So it's going to be interesting to really see over the next few tests. But ultimately, he's backed all the way by Stokes and McCullum. And I just can't see them changing it. But maybe a really bad game could cause someone else to come in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, even if you want to go down the route of Liam Dawson's too old and doesn't fit the right age bracket that they're looking for, then go somewhere else. Go for a Jack Carson from Sussex. Go for a Ben Kellaway from Glamorgan, who gives you that left arm and right arm. That's even more exciting than what Bashir can offer you. And they can all bat. If Bashir could offer you something with the bat or in the field, then this is a completely different conversation. Unfortunately, he does fine leg to fine leg and bats 11. And it's like, what else are you offering me? Very similar to Jack Leach of doesn't offer you anything else. I mean, I think Leach might be a slightly better fielder than Bashir, but they're both pretty poor. I don't think Leach is the answer. I think they've done that. I think the issue that they had with Leach is that he just couldn't stay fit.
Yeah.
I also don't think he was that good. I think he struggles bowling teams out when in a fourth innings. He's proved that a couple of times at Somerset and just struggled to take wickets and done it in the Test arena as well. I think there's plenty of other options. They're not going to drop him. He'll be there till Sydney. It was just watching it today. I'm like, you're never going to take a wicket unless someone tries to hit you at the ground.
Yeah.
And yeah, it drove me nuts. And you can, I feel like you can tell that Stokes is starting to trust him less as well. Just that there is often.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It felt like before that Stokes would always keep that man up in the ring, the metaphorical ring, because it's test cricket. So you'd have mid on up, where I just feel like he gets dragged back now and knows that there's going to be a bad one. So we'll have a deep point, we'll have a deep square leg. It often finds him a wicket because it's people trying to hit him out of the attack. I had to say it because I'm just fed up with it now. And he's just not good enough, and he shouldn't be playing test cricket. He might be in 5 years' time. If you drop him now, that's not his career over. I'm not saying that he's done. I'm just saying that right now, Shoaib Bashir is not good enough to play test cricket, and they're not going to drop him, and it's going to be really annoying. Should we talk about England's batting now? Because that gets even worse. it starts off with Ben Duckett, a relatively good ball. I think it kind of bounced on him a little bit. He was caught in the slips. Good catch by Shubman Gill from Akash Deep. Duckett scored one of the best knocks I've seen in a chase in the last game, so there's no real pressure on Duckett. However, Ollie Pope's was poor.
Yeah, it was weird because the first over from Akash Deep, Crawley, I think, hit him for two lovely drives. I think it was 12 of the first over, and I was just thinking, this is brilliant. We're going to end up 100 for none by close of play.
Mm.
But he just came back that second over. The ball to Duckett was a good one. Duckett, it's the way he plays. He's always going to chase after that ball outside off. He's never going to leave it. It gets him so many runs. Unfortunately, sometimes you are just going to nick one. But the Pope one, again, he's buying into the whole baseball mentality of bat to ball. But it's sort of going back to where we criticised England's baseball approach like a year ago. Just sometimes have a bit more brains about your first 20 balls. There's plenty of time left. He didn't really have to go at that ball, in my opinion.
No, I mean, it was a straight ball on middle and off, middle stump. And he's tried to turn it to the leg side without seeing a ball and seeing what's happening with it. Just felt like it wasn't needed. Now, the one thing I will say about Pope is something that I feel like he's changed since kind of the start of the summer, is that he has really tried to be aggressive in those first 20 balls. And I felt like that brought him a little bit more success because he was trying to get on the front foot early and he knows that he's not very good at starting. So if he can try and score as many runs as he can, the field will go out. And if he does play a stupid shot, then there's not going to be a fielder there because the field's gone back because he scored 30 off 20. However, it just defend it. Just defend it down the pitch. Like, it can't be that difficult. And since he scored that century, he's come back. He's now 14 for three. So are we back to Ollie Pope scoring a century and then securing his spot in the side and then scoring no runs until we start to get to the conversation of Ollie Pope should be dropped and then he scores another century and then all of a sudden it's over?
It is worrying that he seems to do this a lot. It's always the first game of a series. He scores an amazing 100. He did it in India last year. Was it two? No, yeah, 2000. Yeah, it was last year. Yeah, it always seems to buy him more time, and then sort of he goes back to where he was sort of 2 years ago when he's struggling to get starts. And let's hope it's just a blip. But this is what we've been saying for the last 2 years of his whole career, that let's hope it's just a blip. He does score the odd 100, it saves him time, but we want something more consistent, definitely.
I mean, it's really difficult because he averages 43 or whatever it is at number three, and no one has averaged 43 at number three in Test match cricket for the last 10 years. Yeah. Just no one's done it. Lavashane might be the exception, but since 22, he's been useless. So in that time frame since Pope started, he's been the best number three in world cricket. Whether that's good enough, I don't know. Whether you bring someone like, because it would be Bethell. Bethell is waiting there to come into this side. And whether you just bring him here in, then he'll be better. I don't know. I really don't know. Because we just haven't seen enough of Bethell. Have I seen enough of Ollie Pope? I think so. And I still don't know what to do with him.
Yeah, I'm very similar. It's the problem is he gets these scores that you think, wow, this is what we want from our number three. But then just the sort of insecurities come again very quickly afterwards. I'd like to see some data from if he's ever got sort of 100 and then another 50 the next test. It always seems to be 100 single figure scores, 100 single, which is in his whole career really, which means he ends up with a half decent average. But, would Bethell be better? Who knows? I guess it would only be the only way to find that would be just to put him in there. But has Pope really done? Has he really done that badly to lose that place? It's hard. I think we need to make a call very quickly, though.
Yeah, because otherwise it's gonna run away from you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look back at his scores. So where are we starting? So going back to India, he obviously had that 196. Then didn't have a score above 40. And then you go back to last summer. He had 120 and a 50 in a game against the West Indies. And then against Sri Lanka, there was 150. And then he was okay in New Zealand. That was batting down at 6, though.
Yeah.
And then he had the 170 against Zimbabwe, then 100 against India in the first innings, and then has scored 8 runs since that century. It's a bit of a worry.
Yeah.
And I think they'll keep him. I think he's probably booked his spot for the rest of the series. But he's going to have to score another century if he wants to make it on the plane to Australia. I think it is going to be that simple. Because if he doesn't do it, I think they'll drop him.
Yeah, because the first time in his career, he has first time under Baz, really, he's actually got someone breathing down his neck, which he didn't really have, because he didn't really have anyone that wanted to bat three or anyone that was showing form there. But Bethell did do well there in New Zealand. They like Jacob Bethell. So yeah, he does actually have pressure for his place for the first time, which I thought would do him good. Let's wait and see.
Zach Crawley, 19. He looked good for that 19. Got out in the most Zach Crawley-esque dismissal that you'll ever see in your life. Wasn't great.
He looked so good in that first over as well. I really thought it was going to be one. With Zach, you just know sometimes he looks so good in the first few overs and you think this is him for the day now. He's going to play an amazing looking innings. He's going to get 100. And I really did think that yeah, Siraj did bowl quite well to him, but unfortunately, as the whole of the team always say, that's just the way we play.
Yeah, and you just watch it and you think, oh, Zach, you've just thrown it away there. Like, that's it. That's where you had to score your runs, and it's just a stupid shot outside off. If it goes away for 4, then it's great, but just a real struggle. I feel like he averages 30 in Test cricket, and it looks like he averages 30 now. I don't know. I really think that his time might be up. I think it's getting to that point where they're going to have to make a call from him, because as good as he's been and quite consistent, he scored 3 centuries in the last 3 years under Stokes and McCullum. It's just 3 centuries. And one of those is on one of the flattest pitches you'll ever see in Rawalpindi. Another one is against Zimbabwe, and 189 against Australia, which is still to this day one of the best knocks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There was a point where he was really consistent and was scoring runs, but now it's not doing it for me. That 65 in the last innings was good, but last 6 test matches, 0-1, 17-8, 21-5, 124 against Zimbabwe, 4-65 and 19. Your scores from the last six tests.
It's been a sort of, that's been a pattern in his whole career. The one thing I think that's sort of, well, there's a couple of things that we're saving. One is that he is a real sort of Brendan McCullum, Rob Key project. They've pretty much said he doesn't need to score runs. He just needs to be entertaining and gets off to good starts. The second thing is that he does, I think he brings out the best in Ben Duckett in a way. They do complement each other well as an opening partnership. Whether that's enough to keep someone in the side if he's not scoring runs, but I do feel that Ben Duckett thrives off batting with Zach Crawley. The bowlers do have to pitch their lengths differently. The right-hand, left-hand combo. Crawley's so good down the ground, off his legs, whereas Ben Duckett's so good square off wicket. I think that's the only sort of thing that could keep him in the side. I personally, like you, I think the question needs to be asked, but I'm just trying to think from a ECB sort of point of view.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know on him. Again, you'd think that he'd do really well in Australia because he's good at hitting through the bounce, at the top of the bounce and bouncier pitches in Australia, and it's going to go well. But those pitches have been moving in Australia. Like that they could be a real worry. And I just don't know if he's going to be the right idea for there. Who you go to, I haven't got a clue. I mean, I really don't know. Do you go back to Alex Lees? Do you go to Ben McKinney, his Durham teammate? Go youth? Do you go Emilio Gay? Do you go Tom Haynes from Sussex, who scored a load of runs but doesn't fit that Baswell style? Or do you just say, let's put Bethel to open and see what happens?
Well, the Bethel to open thing is something I've read and seen mentioned, and it wouldn't surprise me because this is Brendan and Ben. They like to make left field decisions. They like Jacob Bethel. Alex Lees has come off the back of two centuries on an absolute road at the Oval. There's a lot.
Dom Sibley scored 300. Get him back in the side.
Yeah, he's the leading run scorer in Div 1, I believe. And it's going to be hard. It'd be really interesting to see who they would go for, because it's got to be someone that fits the same profile as Zach Crawley, really. And is there anyone that does have that profile?
I know exactly what they'll do. If they drop Crawley, what they do is they put Bethel at three, they put Pope at six and give him the gloves, and they move Jamie Smith to open. That's exactly what they do.
Yeah, that's another thing. Obviously, he's our opener in one-day cricket now. I wouldn't be against seeing it, but...
I wouldn't mind seeing it against Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it against Bumrah. I don't want to see it against the quartet that they've got down in Australia.
Yeah, they'll be licking their lips at the thought of Jamie Smith with a new ball in their own country.
Yeah, that's probably, we've probably dissected all of England's problems, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Jack, what happens tomorrow apart from Brook and Brute putting on 300 together?
Well, we've got to be slightly encouraged by, they did have a 50-run partnership there at the end. I mean, it could have been a real, real disastrous day. We could have ended up 60 for five. Root and Brook are the ranked number one and two best batters in the world. They've put on massive partnerships before. We've got to be positive and hope that they can put on another huge partnership. They can both get big daddy hundreds. Stokes might find a bit of form. He's been not in great batting form for a good sort of 18 months now. And we've just got to believe we can try and, first of all, avoid the follow-on. Trying, even if we get 150 runs adrift of India, we'll still be thinking we can bowl them out for 150, 200 and have a 350 target and chase that down.
Mm. I would like to take you back to Wellington for the second test in February 2023. Crawley, Duckett, Pope all out for low scores. England 21 for 3 when Root and Brook came to the crease together. Joe Root 153 not out. Harry Brook 186 of 176. They put on a 300 fourth wicket partnership, and that is exactly what is going to happen tomorrow if we have faith. Ben Stokes gets back into form, scores a century, and then we're 50 runs short, and then we knock off whatever they give us on day five. That is exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to take some positives, and then we can drop Ollie Pope and Zach Crawley for the next tests, and Bashir can also go as well. So that's the plan. But that is going to be it for today's episode. Jack, thank you very much for joining me. If you do want to check him out, Left Arm Seamer on all socials. All the links will be down in the description or the show notes. Please remember to leave a like, subscribe, drop us a follow, whatever you can do. Leave a rating, leave a review, do all the usual stuff that you do on your podcast providers. And we'll be back tomorrow for a day 3 review. And hopefully England are a little bit better tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.